If you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's infallible and inerrant word? The words of Jesus to his disciples as recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Bless us, O Lord, with your word and with your Holy Spirit. Amen. We have learned, I trust, that our salvation is the free gift of God. It is accomplished for us through Christ Jesus coming into the world, his going to the cross to pay for our sins, and gloriously resurrected on Easter morning as the first sign of the complete triumph of the will of God over the power of sin and death and the rule of the world. When we come to that place brought there by God's sovereign choice and we hear the gospel, and by his grace we hear it and believe it, then our salvation is assured. But the Holy Scriptures also tell us that those who truly come to Christ, also by the power of the Holy Spirit, will have their life reshaped, remade, and dedicated to him who has saved us. So that walking with Christ, we are changed. I remember, and I've quoted him before, but he's worth quoting again. Back before some of you were born, I was the pastor of this church. Then to the relief of some and to the sorrow of some, I went away for a long time, and now I'm back. Probably the same situation now. But I remember stopping at Mr. Roy Smith's store down here in the evenings. And he was a good old primitive Baptist. And he didn't allow any cussing or anything else in that store. And if you did use a bad word, he would give you a look that would melt you. And there used to be a farmer that lived over in Caswell County that would stop in, and he had a man that worked with him who some might have called retarded, but I would have called him very wise. And I remember one time around that old stove on a cold winter day as the sun was setting, we were talking about spiritual things and the work of Christ. And that fellow said, "Well, I'm not what I ought to be." Can we all say that this morning? We're not all what we ought to be, are we? If you think you are, you've been deceived. He said, "I ain't what I ought to be. But praise God, I ain't what I used to be." And you see, that is the dramatic reality of coming to Christ, that the Holy Spirit begins at that moment to work in your life to transform you and to change you. As Paul says, we become predestined to do those good works which God had prepared beforehand. Because when you truly come to Christ, your eyes are no longer focused upon your will, but your eyes and heart are focused upon the will of Christ for your life and the life of the world. If that's not where your life is focused, my friends, you're in trouble. And Jesus, in this teaching today, reveals more and more of the qualities in the life of a disciple. As I told you when I began the series of sermons on this passage of Scripture, this sermon is not for the world. Text makes that clear, doesn't it? Remember? He gathered his disciples unto him, not the multitude out there. He gathered his disciples unto him, and he taught them. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Tonight at about 8:45 will be the anniversary of my first wife going home to be with the Lord. And I'm sure all of us have anniversaries like that. Maybe it's for a mother, maybe it's for a husband, a wife, a child even. What a tragedy. We all have those anniversaries. But thanks be unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not mourn, as Paul says, as does the rest of the world. If you're a worldling today, if you're a person that has not come to Christ, then you have no comfort in the face of death. All good dogs do not go to heaven. In fact, the only people that go to heaven, and this is offensive to the world today, are those who have a living faith relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the message the world needs to hear. People aren't being converted today because they believe this rubbish that everybody gets to heaven somehow. They don't. Very few get to heaven. Not many are going to be there. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Straight is the way and narrow is the path, and few, not a bunch, a few that find it. But we do not mourn as the world mourns. For as Paul tells us, a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and that those who remain upon the earth will rise as well to meet him in the skies. If you are a believer, and you have a loved one who was a believer, and they have passed on, the comfort of the Christian faith tells you, you have not seen them for the last time. As I often say at funerals, for believers, now not for the world, for believers, all separations are merely temporary. Gail, I did not get to know your mother for long, but what a saint. You haven't seen her for the last time. And I say that to all of you as I've lived with you through those experiences with Christians that were called home. Do not mourn as the world mourns, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we're getting ready to celebrate soon, comfort you in Christ. And there is a even more profound mourning, I think, that we all endure, other than the losing of a loved one or something in the world, some tragedy. And that deeper level of mourning is over our sins. You know, the world does not think sin makes any difference. makes a difference if you're Harvey Weinstein and get caught in it, but for the world, it really doesn't make much difference. But for the believer, sin makes a profound difference. And all believers still fight the battle of sin within them. If you're not fighting that battle, then you've got a spiritual problem. We are freed from the penalty of that sin in terms of being lost, but that sin is still real and has a devastating effect on us. At least it does me. When I sin, it has a devastating effect on me. And I want to say, as your pastor today, I'm not perfect. There have been many sins in my life that I've had to crucify and crucify, as Paul says. Now, praise God, some of them are dead. Some of those sins that used to plague me don't plague me at all, yeah. But others do. And that creates a kind of sorrow in me. I don't know about you. But I am comforted even in that sorrow. That Christ forgives me. Christ forgives me. And he says that when I get to heaven, they won't even be remembered. I look forward to that. Of not only knowing the will of God, but in heaven, being able to do it perfectly. Won't that be great? So even in our mourning, both in the loss of loved ones and in for our deep spiritual depravity and sin, we are comforted. Comforted through the loving grace of Jesus. Jesus also said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We've been talking about this verse in Bible study. I know many of you have something more important to do than study the Word of God, but we have been studying it and looking at it. We have learned that this meekness is not weakness. You know, we think of people as meek as people you can run over. But biblical meekness is something far different. Because of the sin in the world, every believer is put in a place and a time that they are helpless. Did you know that? I think about the Middle East. We saw yesterday that I have some pictures of, hard to look at, but pictures of Christians that ISIS had crucified. They had no worldly power at all to free them from that situation. Now, sometimes, I was telling a young person the other day, one of these days I'm going to the doctor, and doctors, I normally get good reports, but one of these days I'm going to the doctor, if it's not a sudden death, and the doctor's going to say, "Gerald, I'm sorry, but as I've examined your reports and tests, I have to inform you that very soon, like every frog, you're going to croak." But I'm not afraid. Now, the world deals with troubles and mistreatments and anger and directed at them through bitterness. You know that? I've seen people that are so bitter. And I can understand why they might be, because their circumstances can't change. Maybe someone's talking bad about them, or maybe, and they have no real power to defend themselves, or maybe they have an illness they can't deal with, you know, in terms of getting the healing they want. Or maybe they're like these godly martyrs of Christ in the Middle East. No worldly power to save them. But let me tell you the place that a disciple is in those situations. The disciple is able to quietly, meekly, and triumphantly deal with those things. I remember a Christian preacher in South America who was being threatened by the drug cartels, and there was no way for him out of the country and no way to escape them. And one of the cartel leaders came and threatened him and told him what they're going to do. And he said, "You'll do nothing that Christ does not give you permission to do to me, even if it takes my life." How was he able to say that? That doesn't sound meek, but it is meekness. Why? His dependence is not in himself. His dependence is in the Lord Jesus. The believer goes through trials and sufferings, not looking for worldly solutions, but knowing that whatever happens, Jesus will be the solution. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that are able to have that calmness and that peace in the face of trouble, because they know that the Lord God they serve, the Lord God revealed in Jesus Christ, will overcome. He will be our justification. I told the Bible study that, the other night that one thing the Lord has taught me, and that's never to defend myself. Now, if I've done something wrong and I know it, I want to get on my knees at your feet and ask you to forgive me. But I never defend myself. Jesus, incidentally, never defended himself. He was meek in that sense. I always say, if people don't know me well enough and love me enough to defend me, I won't have any defense in this world. But I got him who will keep me safe. You own the whole world when you know that. You walk without fear and can be silent in the face of hurt and oppression and mistreatment. Blessed are they who are meek in the biblical sense, humbly trusting in the Lord in all things. Blessed are them whose justification is the Lord, whose assurance is the Lord, whose strength is the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. They have got everything. And finally, we come to the text. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me tell you something about a person who has just begun to get the inkling of the greatness of their Savior. Let me tell you something about them. It's invariably true. And the reverse, as I will show you, is true. The person who has grasped the great love that Jesus Christ had for them in dying for them and saving them, and realize that He is the way, truth, and the life, they will want to grow in the knowledge and understanding of Him and His righteousness. Jesus uses those terms, hungering and thirsting. The greatest need of the human body is for water. Did you know that? Now, any of us who's ever been on a diet know that we can go without food for a while. Not forever, but for a while. But you can go without water hardly any time. And both water and food are necessary to sustain life, aren't they? Absolutely necessary. Jesus uses hungering and thirsting to illustrate the needful passion, the needful desire, the needful wanting of righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? A lot of people keep the law but are not righteous. Did you know that? Now, righteousness, really, I think if we could kind of stretch it out, would mean a truly right relationship with God. See, that's
the righteous person is truly desiring and seeking a right relationship with God. And that's true for the saved as well as the unsaved who are coming to Christ. Because the saved wants to grow stronger in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But you know, a lot of believers have been converted, but suddenly they get anorexia. You know what anorexia is? It's an eating disorder. And it's marked by a lack of appetite. When it really gets going, there's no appetite at all. Yesterday, we had a great meeting. And I know some of you legitimately had to work. And some of you legitimately had other concerns. But many of those concerns could have been replaced by being at that meeting. And I want to say this to your loving pastor. Until you get to hungry and thirsting to know more about the true and living God, you're not going to know the blessing of being filled. Could I ask those who were there yesterday, if God filled you with the knowledge of Him and His grace and His plan in a new way? I'm not asking if He filled you completely. We probably won't be filled completely when we get to heaven. But did you experience the feeling that God was feeding you with insight and understanding of His righteousness? If you experienced that yesterday and were blessed, raise your hand. See, everybody that was there yesterday that is in this congregation this morning experienced that. We ought to be. I'll go further than that. We absolutely need to be looking and seeking every opportunity we can to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I apply this to your television habits. I have a tendency to be blunt, and I don't ever mean to hurt people's feelings when I'm blunt. I'm blunt with my own self. A number of years ago, I was with some members of my congregation, and which I might add, five of them I never saw at a Bible study or a prayer meeting. They were always there on Sunday morning, but I never saw many of those things. But they were there, and we were having dinner, and one says, "It's time for the Survivalist to come on." I think that was the name of that show. I don't even know for sure. And they all ran, and they were all engrossed in that, and they were talking how that was going to work out. And I was watching, and I said, "You know what? You folks need to get a life. This program has absolutely no consequence on your well-being physically, mentally, or spiritually. Get a life. The real life." I think the program finished out that night, but I don't think anybody else enjoyed watching it. Folks, do not let your laziness, do not let the deceptions of the world turn you from the real spiritual food which we all need. Praise God, we get up in the morning, Elizabeth's got the TV programmed out. She knows where all the good preachers are and at what time they come on. And when I'm slurping down that Louisiana coffee, we are watching some great teaching. You people in North Carolina probably don't know anything about Louisiana coffee. Have no hair on my head, but lots of it on my chest. It'll do that. Feed on the things of God. Desire spiritual food above all else. We're going out to lunch in a little while, if I quit preaching. And we're going out to lunch in a little while, and I'm going to eat. And I'm going to have some food that'll, I hope, will help me get stronger and maybe even better looking. But I know this, that 3 hours after I finish that, the effects of that will probably be gone unless I've eaten too many carbohydrates and added a little bit more to this rotund figure of mine. But I read the Bible. I feed on the great teachings of men like Pastor Joseph. Driving along, I sing heavenly songs. And Gil, you're right about the importance of music. Good theological sound hymns and songs are some of the best teachings we can receive. And we have a way of remembering them, then you won't remember what I've said. But nonetheless, the spiritual food and water, Christ the living water, has an effect upon my being that lasts forever. My old daddy did not know the Lord when he met my mother. And if you would ask him, Wyatt, what's the best thing that ever happened in your life? He said, I would trace it to the work of my wife. The greatest thing that ever happened was through her witness, finding the real Savior. And I know my dad, he didn't buy cheap stuff. He didn't buy much stuff, but he didn't buy cheap stuff. Scotchmen are that way, you know. I remember that he wore out 3 Bibles from the inside out. That's the way you ought to wear them out. You know, you find a lot of worn Bibles, open up pages slick as when they were new. I know in my own memory that he wore 3 of them out from the inside. And he was blessed because he hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Every time the door of that congregational church was open, my old daddy was there. Every time he had to hear the chance to hear a good Bible teacher, even if he had to drive to Chattanooga, my daddy was there. And he was filled. If you are going to truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will seek the spiritual food. You will hunger and thirst after Him to know Him more. Are there any among you who have ever hungered and thirsted after Jesus and have not availed your opportunity to know Him and to know His righteousness better, that have not walked away fed? I have not ever walked away not being fed. I never opened my Bible and lay it down and walk away and have not been fed. You are blessed when you desire to know Him. And if you are going to walk with Him, you will learn that He is your comfort in all mourning. You will learn that He will be your defense. Therefore, you can be meek and calm in the presence of the storm. That He is your solution in all things. You will learn that it is so much of a blessing to hunger and thirst after Him that you might be filled. Blessed are those disciples who know that, who believe that, who live in that truth, For they have something the worldling does not have. And they have something that will keep them close to the Savior. If you've got an ear, please hear what I've been saying. It is vital for the believer's life. Next week, if I live, if I don't get another preacher, I'll be in heaven. But next week, if I live, I'm going to talk about the most important practice, in a way, of our relationship with others in this world. Of course, it's grounded on the love of God that we've received in our heart. But you'd be surprised how many believers don't take it seriously enough. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about this, sweetie. That's Jesus. That's not Gerald. If Gerald, you could ignore it. That's Jesus. Think about it this week. Start hungry and thirsting to understand it in fullness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God bless you, everyone. Love you with all my heart. But you know what? As much as I love you, your Savior loves you even more. My love's imperfect. His love for you is perfect. Don't you ever forget that. And if you're His, He's going to hold you. He may spank your bottom spiritually sometimes, but He's going to hold you. What a blessing. Amen.